It's Friday.
I made it to Friday and I'm still dying.
July 27th. You got about an hour left. Maybe a few minutes over an hour because it turned out we had a lot of stories at the end this week.
There's so many stories.
But some of them are nonsense and the nonsense stories don't always take a long time. So let's burn through them.
Fast Company, this story is just wrong. Summer camps of all places are using face recognition to keep... Jesus Christ. Summer camps.
Look at this picture. This looks like it's straight out of the 70s. This doesn't look like modern kids. So the idea here, you're wondering like, well, what do summer camps need to do with facial recognition? Are they losing the campers? No. What they're doing is, as you're camping, you take group photos like this. Or maybe you're out and it's bow and arrow day. Do you think they let them do bow and arrow in modern millennials?
It's too dangerous.
Yeah.
Can't even do lawn darts.
Maybe Nerf.
No, I mean, just you put out an eye. Unless you've got like full headgear.
Whatever you're doing, whatever, you know, safe spaces you're participating in your current camping experience, they're taking pictures like, oh, look at the camping kids. Well, if you're a doting parent who has paid the additional fee and uploaded your child's face picture to be tracked, you can be notified of any of those pictures that your child is in. And if you're not, you're going to have to scroll through all the pictures and try to find your kid like a pleb. And they're going to have your kid's face photo forever.
If you're a parent, don't do this. Don't.
Maybe just deal with your kid through the summer. Maybe you try to teach your kid a couple of things.
Or ask your kid to share pictures with you directly rather than whatever this
is. Well, the camp probably owns the pictures.
Send your kid. Your kid's got a cell phone, right? Just have them take their own pictures.
How do you send a cell phone to a camp? That seems like you'd want to get... I'm sure you do. I don't know. Child rearing is... I can't imagine how difficult it is to deal with that in the modern era. Because everything's against you.
Our next story combines two of my favorite things. Open MongoDB databases and money laundering.
They always go together. It's like chocolate and peanut butter. So this was a plan. A pretty good plan, actually. Because when you steal a credit card, the question is, what do I spend this money on? Because if you buy goods, you have to get them delivered to you, and that's risky. And if you buy online things, how do you monetize it? Well, these guys figured it out. They were creating Apple ID accounts fraudulently, which was pretty easy to do. Shame on you, Apple. And they were using their stolen credit cards to buy Clash Royale and what's the other one? It's all the Royale games. I guess there's microtransactions in those games. So they were buying up microtransaction stuff and then selling the Apple account. Not a bad plan. One thing brought them down.
Open MongoDB accounts?
MongoDB. They had a MongoDB that was a database of all the credit cards and all the accounts they had created with them and how much real money were on them and what they were for sale for.
And I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for your meddling kids.
It was literally a security researcher who found them out. So there's a good plan. It's been ruined. Now Apple has been contacted, and whoever creates those Clash games, Clash of Clans or whatever.
You know, there have been some fascinating... We should maybe do a mini-story, a mini-segment or whatever on, like, modern money laundering stuff, because there have been a lot of really fascinating things. Like, there are, like, super shitty paperback books on Amazon that are, like, $2,000, and it's like, what is this? And it's like, oh, this is a way to move money out of the country.
Yeah. There's a lot of that, and even whole e-commerce sites set up there used to be a scam where there were companies where it's like, we don't care how bad your credit is, we will give you a credit card. And that was true, but the only thing you could use that credit card on was their store. And on their store, a toothbrush was like $50. And in the agreement, you had to spend so much a month. So...
Yeah,
and that was borderline legal. And that's, you know, data leaks. We rarely get through a week without some serious data leaks. And this week is no exception. And a second data leak. This was from the automakers.
I don't think this article should actually call what has been leaked automakers trade secrets. It's trade secrets like, I don't know, the mafia's list of who's paying protection money is a trade secret.
Now, I hope that... Oh, yeah. So, the worst thing about this article, the absolute worst thing It's I can't stand it. Is the company that was stealing them?
Level 1 robotics and controls.
They must be destroyed. There's only one level 1.
Damn it, there goes our robotics wing.
So, this is a Canadian company, so maybe it's okay. But these guys, it's the old story of...
Canadians are always so nice.
I don't know if they didn't do it on purpose, but it was the old story of it wasn't us that leaked the data, it was a third party. And they were third party to a lot of different auto manufacturers, and they lost a lot of their data. Tesla, I think, was one of them.
I just don't understand how having this, like, building... Like, your IT people literally set out to build a database that is like, how can we scam our customers? Like, that's the title of the database.
Well, the secrets leaked were not so much trade secrets as, you know, like, how are we really doing financially and stuff like that.
And what are people, how much is somebody willing to pay for a CD player in this day and age? Is it $600? Because I think it's $600.
So, embarrassing, but at least it's not something they're going to be on the hook for in terms of, like, GDPR and, you know, Cambridge Analytica. So.
Some hideously evil person or brilliant person has built a database of IoT passwords.
How do you pronounce that? Dahua? Dahua?
I have no idea how to pronounce that.
They make DVRs, apparently. And they have patched those DVRs, but who firmware updates a DVR? Nobody. Yeah. No. Nobody ever.
Not a lot of people even change the passwords. Like, some of them are patched, but still have default passwords, which is like, wow, you patched it, but you didn't change the password?
So, yeah, all of those, it turns out that you can, there's two ports, there's SSH and, I can't remember what the other one was called, but you can query either of those ports, and the DVR will be like, yes, here's the login info. And so, there's a huge database of them, and you can search it. And you can do what you want with these DVRs.
In before federally mandated law that law enforcement will always have access to your DVR if it's on the internet.
That kind of is what they want with that story we talked about with the FBI guy.
Yeah.
He wants a port that he can hit with a flag that says, I'm FBI.
I am the law.
And it just lets you in.
And obviously your router is smart enough to tell the difference between that guy and a Russian. Sorry, Russia. There come the downloads.
Now this story, this is a very specific thing. This maybe sounds a little more dangerous than it is. But what's going on here is some people have come up with a way to get into iPhones that takes an astonishing level of social engineering.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is not something you're accidentally going to download. You got to go in and give it permission. Basically, it's like, yes, you can take over the phone. But some people are willing to do that, which is...
Well, I think also probably evil maid type attacks or in like intelligence agencies or whatever. It's like, I'm going to go check out the hotel pool and leave my phone in the room. And then they come in and do whatever, maybe. But these these apps look like WhatsApp and Telegram, but they're not the real WhatsApp and Telegram services. But even more insidious is that the attackers made the hacked applications look like it was the Russian intelligence service that did it.
So they use a mail.ru address. But clearly they were faking it because it's not just WhatsApp and Telegram. They can install any app they want once they get it. It's a very low level malware. And the first two versions of it that are registered in the Apple database were testing for that thing. It was named This Thing Test. And they were from India. So, and it's affecting Indians. So it seems like it's a local thing. So if you're in India, and someone, like, don't leave your phone laying around. And if someone calls you and it's like, we need to go through a ridiculous number of steps so that I can help you with tech support, don't do that.
You got your tax rebate. I'm just going to need you to go into your phone and disable application signing. And then...
it really is a that convoluted an amount of steps. This story, it's not surprising at all.
No.
I think we've known this for a while on some level. But
ProPublica is talking about this.
It does make you think, and it's very worrying. And this is health insurance.
Health insurers are vacuuming up details about you, and it could raise your rates. Health insurers don't actually care about vacuuming up data. What health insurers want to do is find any reason to deny your claim that they could possibly find. And the more data they have, the more they can cite for, it's like, oh, you didn't tell us this.
Right, and then, so when you think about, okay, that's my healthcare data. There are laws. We got the HIPAA laws, right? No, this is not your healthcare data necessarily. They're looking at every kind of data and they're making these assumptions like how much crime is on your street. That might raise your health insurance. How, you know, did you go to a certain location that might be associated with something to do with health? Hey, we're going to raise your rates. And there's just a huge amount of metrics that they look at to try and determine if they should raise your rates. And even maybe not even give you health insurance.
Here's a hint. The answer is always yes.
Almost always, yeah. Well, no, because they talk about one of the things they love to do is identify people who are never going to need a claim and get them and reject everybody else. Like one of them got busted for, you had to sign up in person. You couldn't do it over the phone or anything like that. And they were on the 7th floor of a building with no elevator. So if you're already messed up, you're never getting up there. But yeah, the insurance industry is it's one of the most horrific things. It's really a terrible system. And
it's a horrible system no matter what country you're in, except for countries that have socialized healthcare, in which case it's substandard. Not really, I don't know.
Well, they have their own problems for sure. And
it's fine. Probably.
Well, no, it's not fine. But
speaking of places that have socialized healthcare, Ontario, uh-oh.
Is that a play on uh-oh, Spaghetti-O?
Yeah. Uh-oh, Ontario.
There's an old commercial. Yeah, this is some Canadians lost their... This is medical data. This is not an insurance company mining your other data. This is someone losing actual medical data.
Here's a future legal case for you. Can a insurance company use medical data leaked to the public?
How could you prove that they were doing that?
Well, I mean, that, if you're a health insurance company, that'd be great. It'd be like, we have our bots just hoovering up stuff on the dark web, and we hoovered up your medical record from the dark web. We didn't get it from your your official medical records.
Can you force them to explain to you why they raised your rates? No. I don't think you can. It's a black box.
Yeah.
They do whatever they want.
Yep.
This was a single workstation in some office that was doing stuff. It was I think it was like one of those urgent care offices or something. Got malware on it, and they went from there to 80,000 patient records.
That's how that works, people.
The weakest link in the chain. It was Barb up front. She works with billing. And
damn it, Barb, you're going to have to quit playing Farmville on company computers.
She loves Bejeweled, and she'll click on anything you email her. So you got to watch out for Barb. Oh, the browser, it's struggling. Well, this was another, this is another health leak.
In Singapore.
Yeah, and the... Really,
1.5 million.
But the big thing about this one was the prime minister was part of it. So,
what's the over under on us getting reasonable laws for dealing with healthcare data? Since the prime minister was involved, because you know, if plebs, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. Well, this was I don't know what their healthcare system is like, but I liken it to again the instant care type of situations. Like he had gone to one of those places for something. And what is the Singapore name version of Barb? I don't know common Singapore names. Singapore is a really wealthy country, though. So
yeah.
It's definitely a lot of expensive healthcare going on there, I'm sure. But yeah, just another weak link malware. They get in and they steal. And this was the biggest data leak that Singapore's ever seen, or at least that we know about, that they've admitted to. So
our next story talks about hackers, and hackers are responsible for 90% of the login attempts at online retailers, which I thought it was probably like north of 50%, but 90%? Jesus.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with the Have I Been Pwned database, that lets you go in and be like, hey, is my login, is it out there with known passwords, and you can actually query that? And they have an ingenious way of querying that without storing your password, which is a cool story in itself. But those are out there. And even if it's your first day of being a hacker, you know, quote unquote hacker, as we call everything bad hackers these days, you can just go and get that database and just write a little script to try to log in to various places and say, hey, maybe I'll get lucky. They talk about, they predict the return rate is about 3%, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was 67% on forums, I think. There's a chart that's not loading. Yeah.
Stolen credentials is big business.
Oh yeah, here we go. You know the other thing about this article, the one place that I don't know if they didn't report it or whatever, totally immune to this, porn.
Well, they take security very seriously.
I suppose they do. So maybe the online retailers take a few, you know, like take some notes from Pornhub. Let Pornhub do an industry, you know, like get together, a retreat.
It's funny. I actually know some people that work in that industry, and it's fascinating because they're very well paid and they're very happy with their job, but they are working on like bleeding edge stuff. They've got all kinds of like the security is really good. And like the credit card payment processing stuff is like really good, multiple layers. And so like everything is like by the book as it should be. And like having all worked on like retail projects and like projects for the Fortune 500, it's like, you know, the whole thing's held together with like three matchsticks and an angry badger by the Fortune 500. But the porn companies have got it figured out.
One thing about that industry is cash flow.
Yeah.
Like you can afford.
Not a problem.
Yeah, you can afford to pay people because you've got constant cash coming in. There's no 90-day waiting period for your billing. You get your cash that day.
That might be an interesting discussion for the comments. Probably want to take that to the forum.
Well, this was not a leak, but this was a outdated router in a Russian bank that led to $1 million worth of stolen money.
That poor bank.
If I can scroll, they have I think the name of this hacking group, they call themselves Money Taker, which that gets right to the point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Money Taker.
Very clever. Bravo. Good job.
I can't scroll. But what they did is they got into that one router, and then they got malware into the system at the branch, and then they got from there into the main system. They moved a bunch of money around, and they had a whole network of money mules, they call them. They just, like, as soon as they made that transfer, they began hitting ATMs.
Wow.
Pulled all the cash out, and then it's gone. And they just, everybody melts back into the crowd, and you're done. Oh, there went the browser.
Well, this story was really, really, really fascinating because we had that, you know, Trump-Putin summit, and Chinese hackers targeted the Internet of Things at this summit. And I saw this happen once at, like, a conference. There was like a proof of concept demonstration. The hotel was completely pwned. The hotel had a VOIP system, and within 20 or 30 minutes of the security team arriving, they had full control over the VOIP phones, but they were actually able to turn the VOIP phones into microphones surreptitiously. So like anywhere there was a VOIP phone, it could just listen in. And so they were just clicking around from phone to phone to phone until they found a phone that was close to the conference that was going on. And you had no idea that they were there.
Yeah. And of course they were trying to get any kind of inclination of what Trump and Putin, I imagine they weren't the only ones meeting. You know, there were probably some lower members in other rooms hashing some things out. And China wanted to get an earful of that. No idea if they did or not, but they talk about how there's kind of it's like, you know, like there's a background radiation just from space. There's a background level of Chinese hacking, but it went up like 600% during that time. Yeah. So they very much noticed it.
Yeah. Those crazy Chinese hackers.
They also talked about there was a level of hacking from the U.S. and from the EU.
Oh, well, obviously.
But nothing compared to what China was up to. So
China was so busy hacking, nobody could check their Gmail.
Well, and, you know, the security problems roll on. And this one isn't about a new threat, but how do people keep getting malware onto the Play Store? That's the question.
Well,
why do we see it over and over?
I have a problem with the headline here because it's like droppers is how Android malware keeps making it onto the Play Store. And so, like, this is not a problem that you can solve really easily, I think, unless you sandbox all the applications away from all of the other applications.
Yeah, so if you're not hip to the dropper, what they're doing is they're getting an application onto the Play Store, and then through updates, they're turning it into something worse by moving the malware payloads onto it in a future update.
Well,
so they get in.
The malware payloads don't necessarily even have to go through the Play Store. The application has network access, so it can do it directly itself.
Downloading. And they talk about how these things, Like, if you're good at building a dropper, you might not even build malware. You just build the dropper and you can rent space, which is hilarious. You know, it's like time sharing hacking. And
the only real fix for this would be to force all applications to have all of their API access actually go through Google, which is not really a solution.
Well, it's the Apple way.
Right. Yeah, and well, then, even Apple doesn't really do that, although Apple's perhaps a little bit more locked down in that they specifically prohibit interpreted code.
But think about, how's the EU going to respond to that? I mean, that's a rock and a hard place right there. So, yeah, I'm very, very, very critical about what apps I download these days. I go pretty bare bones with apps. It's just like, I can't trust them. Do I really... I mean, games, I've just never found any fun with mobile gaming, and the core apps do most of your productivity, so what else do you need?
There was a ROM for the Asus, the x86 Asus phone that would actually let you run another version of Android in a virtual machine, and so that was great because I had the one Android instance of Android for all my important stuff, and then I could spool up another isolated Android on the same phone that had Pixel Dungeon and all the other bullshit on it. And so it's like, you know, if Pixel Dungeon's spying on whatever I'm doing and that copy of Android on my phone, I'm okay with that because it can't get to the important stuff in the other Android.
Well, Pixel Dungeon's open source. That can do no wrong.
You can compile it yourself.
Yeah, so you can totally trust Pixel Dungeon. Of course, there are 10 billion versions of Pixel Dungeon now.
Yeah, because the whole open source.
You know, like half of them spy on you. So.
Yeah, it's probably bad. Well, you know, Cisco is back in the news again. It's like
how many weeks in a row now?
This is four? The fifth instance.
Is it five?
It's but so like fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What if you fool me five times? Like is that like seppuku levels of embarrassment? I don't understand.
Well, in their defense, they found this one on their own.
They started looking into things like maybe we should check this stuff.
Yeah, so this was a bandwidth monitoring software, and it's the same old story, the same Cisco story we're used to at this point, hard-coded root password.
Yeah, Cisco stuff has a hard-coded, like, full access password. Again, fifth time. Why are we still getting this? Like, just build your own, I guess, because... could it not, like, do you think Cisco's that incompetent, or is this the intelligence apparatus at work?
I think they're that incompetent. I think...
That's a shocking level of incompetence.
I think they probably had a lot of different teams working on different products, and there was no oversight into what shortcuts they were taking. Until now. And then they're finding them all at once, and they're disclosing them, and yeah, they're in trouble.
The IEEE organization has our next story, and it's fascinating. Turns out you can be racist against a robot.
I don't know how much I buy into this. At first I read the headline, I was like, well, okay, I can see that. But then you start reading this guy's paper, and
it's a little bit of a stretch.
It's a little millennial.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And so black robots versus white robots.
Yeah, he thinks there are too many white robots. I'm trying to think. The Alexa's white, right? But you can get other colors, can't you?
You can get a black HomePod, which is Siri. That's Apple.
Google's got a black one.
Yeah.
The Boston Robotics, aren't those black? The dogs?
I think those are different. You can get those in camouflage.
Well, so here's the thing. Well, that leads me to my next point. Why don't we just make robots that are not colors of, like, we could do Cookie Monster Blue and Fire Engine Red. Nobody's that color, right? That's problem solved. But yeah, this guy, he surmises that people are racist against black robots.
So bad.
Yeah.
But there's this, if you want to go read the story, why don't you read the story and let us know what you think? Because
I've never, you know, you could say that racism is subconscious or whatever, but I've never looked at a robot and had any sort of feelings about them based on their color. I don't think.
No. I thought this robot looks really derpy based on its appearance, but
yeah. You know. I'm trying to think, like, of all the robots we've looked at, I guess a lot of them are white. Flippy was white.
Flippy, yeah.
I think.
The one that drowned itself during the existential crisis, that one was white.
But what about all the robots of history? A lot of them were like chrome.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Is that a race? Like, does shiny mean white?
I don't think chrome was really even a color before then. I mean, before, you know, the modern era, probably. Maybe. I guess we had silver. Silver's kind of a chromey color. I don't know what I'm saying. It's delusional. Like, I'm all hopped up on cough medicine.
I think we can agree that robots do not inherently have a race of origin. But could they possibly have a religion?
Google Translate is spitting out sinister religious prophecies. I remember reading this headline, but I don't remember anything about this.
Well, it's got a... Let's see if we can find one. Yeah, okay. So if you search for dog, 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 you get this sort of horrible thing about Jesus' return.
No, it's translating from Maori to English.
Right, yes. And a couple of sort of edge languages, I guess you would say, are about this. So they gave a couple of different possible reasons. The one that made the most sense to me is a language like, is it Maori or Maori?
I don't know.
Maori?
I might have mispronounced it.
A language like that doesn't have a lot of translated documents with which to teach an AI. But there is one document that has been translated into every language, and that's the King James Bible.
Oh, so that explains why everything is...
So the AI...
I don't remember the Doomsday Clock being in the King James Bible.
Well, this is probably like some, you know, other... It's literature based on Christianity, which there is a lot of, and it is aggressively translated. But they talk about how the Google Translate has been moved to a neural network. So the neural network, when it can't find anything, it's just like, just grab something. And it's what it's grabbing is what it knows, which is religious text.
I want them to write a new version of the Canticle for Leibowitz with this kind of like AI running amok in mind, with the people being like, well, the AI said we're going to do this. I mean... And
it does seem it's odd though that in all the examples they gave, there was sort of like a hellfire and brimstone type quotes, you know, and never pulled anything like, you know, all the more loving things that Jesus said. It shows the horrible ones. Now this, I was hoping to get Krista's feelings about this robot.
Well, obviously we need that for our conference room.
That's really cool. The cool thing about it, I don't know how good you can see it on our little screen here, but these wires, there's only two wires. And so you nail up some brackets and connect these little tiny wires, and it can move all across the wall based on that.
It's a printer for the whiteboard. I must have this.
Yeah, and it also will erase what it draws. It's just got little markers mounted into it. So
is it less than $1,000?
I don't know if it's for sale yet. Oh, it's Kickstartered. Yeah. $450 device ships by the end of the year.
Oh, is it going to ship in 3 years then? So we got to get one. I don't know. It's just, it looks cool.
It is very cool. I wonder, because it must be inherently washable.
Yeah.
So like, would I be able to smear it?
Yeah, I'm sure. I would say that one of the problems they haven't solved yet maybe is how it doesn't smear with its little wheels rolling over whatever it puts down on the whiteboard.
No, that's true.
Because it seems like depending on what you put, that it might have problems.
Well, I bet it moves slow enough that there's time for drying.
Oh, maybe.
I bet it's not fast.
Well, would it work better on like those fancy high-end porcelain whiteboards? Or because like it doesn't seem like the marker board stuff ever really dries on like our shitty...
Well, I think that'll work just on a latex wall.
Huh. Okay. Well, we can give it a try.
And that's not the only robot that's painting, but these robots, like Vincent Van Bott.
that's literally from Futurama. Futurama did that first.
Although this company named itself Robot Art, but I read Robotart every
Robotart.
Time. Robotart. Oh, man. That's going to be my new online game, or online gaming name. So yeah, here's a picture of something that Robotart put out. Or the Vincent Van Bott, owned by Robotart. I don't even know how that works. But
I see suffering and existential dread.
Yeah, this is sort of... now, you have to give this guy a starter image, and then he'll, you know, interpret.
Creative.
But this is done with actual paintbrushes. So it's not like a printer. It's a robot that grabs its brushes and does these things, which I suppose that's impressive. And they did a contest, and he won. Vincent Van Bott won.
Rolls-Royce makes airplane engines, today I learned.
Oh, yeah, they've made airplane engines for a very long time.
I knew that they made, like, the bomber engines from, like, the World War II planes, like the ones that are, like, the circular. I didn't realize they still made airplane engines.
A lot of prop planes,
yeah,
they don't use, you know, it's not jets. It's just, That's basically an inline car engine that's running that propeller.
Or a circular car engine.
And
instead of...
Well, no, they will use... They have inline engines that run props.
Oh, okay.
So Rolls-Royce is one of the big names. And fixing these complex engines is time-consuming and labor-intensive. So their solution is tiny robots.
I think we saw pictures of these in The Matrix, where like one of them had like a little laser and it was cutting things. Basically, that's what that is.
You know what I immediately noticed? One thing I immediately noticed about these robots, they're black.
Well, obviously they would be because they're cockroach slave robots. I mean, right?
And then there's also going to be a snake bot that snakes
also
around.
Also black. That would be black.
I don't have a picture of him, but I assume, yeah, because he's crawling around on his belly and he's untrustworthy.
Please realize we're joking, algorithm and or reviewer.
But and they also, maybe the coolest thing they have is they have a robot. So the rotor blades on the engines get damaged. I guess like if a bird flies in there or whatever. So they've got a robot that you can mount to the engine, and then a remote party can go in and fix it.
So literally we're getting astromech droids on our airplanes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you got a guy making $12 an hour mounting it, and a guy making $100 an hour fixing planes all over the world.
So there's going to be an Indian call center filled with airplane repair people.
Okay, exactly.
What a time to be alive.
You can feel so confident getting onto your Cessna that's got a Rolls-Royce engine because it's just been fixed by a guy in Bangladesh.
No offense to anybody in Bangladesh, but... Yeah.
That's just not remote work, in my opinion.
Yeah,
if you want to get your hands dirty on there.
We would hate it just as much as if it were in, you know, Saskatchewan or, you know...
Oh, way worse.
Egan, Minnesota or wherever. It's just, no.
This story was paywalled. I Googled a different one and not a lot of information. Basically just Zooks. Do you think that's pronounced Zooks?
It's a self-driving Zeus taxi in a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, they've got a self-driving taxi, but the story here, I guess, is nobody's ever heard of these guys, and they're almost ready to roll this out.
I think that's probably vaporware and or a scam.
You think? I don't know. The article I looked at had pictures, but the pictures were not completed cars. They were just like steel frames. So
be on the lookout for that. Maybe it's a hot new stock. I don't know.
If you want to ride around in a Zooks, I think if I were going to do self-driving, right now, my faith would be in Waymo. That's who I would want to go with. I had to choose.
I just don't think that that's the kind of technology you can keep secret. It would be like, you know, a competitor to AMD and Intel coming out of the woodwork that did not previously exist that nobody had ever heard of with a new microarchitecture and fabrication facilities. And you can't do something on that scale and keep it secret.
I mean, it seems like it'd be an easy thing to disprove.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to convince us, but we'll find out. Keep your eye on Zooks.
Washington Post again, talking about killer robots.
I think it's safe to say, I mean, you can't disagree with the headline. Killer robots would be dangerously destabilizing. Can anybody argue the opposite?
But see, like, we don't need killer robots to have a dangerously destabilizing technological force. We have drones that are the size of a pack of playing cards, and they could totally carry a poison dart or like that gun that the CIA keeps talking about that makes people have heart attacks or whatever. Like, we could just fly a squadron of those to somewhere and like make Kim Jong have a heart attack or whatever, and that would be just as dangerously destabilizing as Terminators.
I think the argument here is the arms race. Once anybody has killer robots, then we quickly get to, like, look at the nuclear arsenal.
Yeah.
We started out with something terrifying, and now we have stuff that we can't even comprehend.
I feel certain that DJI could build killer drones if they really wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. Well, think about the Boston Robotics.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all they got to do is strap guns on them. They're already there with everything else. Or they don't even need guns. I bet they could make a robot with, like, sword arms, that would just be terrifying and unstoppable. But Musk is he's the best known guy that's part of this. But there's people, a lot of big AI people are chiming in and saying, yes, we agree, not to make killer robots.
But we don't even need AI to do that. Like, all of that exists today, right now. Like, everything in this article that they're freaking out about, we don't need AI to do it. It literally could be done right now today.
But we shouldn't. I agree that we shouldn't. I don't
So it's okay that we do it without AI because we're already there?
No, I think we should agree not to.
To do any of it.
I think robots that kill are always a bad idea.
What about the ones, the flying drones that kill with the remote pilots? Seems like those are bad. Those have ended badly in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I don't see that as. I mean, you can argue that it's sort of like, you know, guns. You're never going to put the genie back in the bottle. Are you ever going to put the drone genie back in the bottle?
No.
So you never let him out. And I think that's what they're talking about here. Hmm. It's a little naive, probably, because somebody's going to do it. But I guess it's a good step to try and stop it. I don't know. The terrifying thing is when you put the AI on the robots and they might start making decisions, you know, like the Asimov stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to have a remote kill switch and, you know, turn off and all that kind of stuff. But I just don't see that being a real big problem immediately. The bigger problem is that they can just remotely kill people with laser-like precision.
Well, and, you know, if you want to take that angle on it, like, the biggest problem is the never-ending warmongering.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe when humans stop killing each other, we start worrying about the robots. But
maybe Elon Musk should race to build the AI that protects us from ourselves, and then we end up in one of the Asimovian futures.
Yeah. I don't think Musk should be the one. I think he's a little too arrogant to put the future of humanity in his hands.
He'll mean well, but 3/4 of the population will be exterminated.
And he'll tweet, it's like, well, I apologize, but it wasn't really my fault.
If you thought Thanos was bad, just wait till you see
Muskos.
Yeah, I like this next story a lot. AI plus chemistry robots find all the reactions that'll work. So AI looks at a bunch of chemical reactions, and then the machine can actually carry out the ones that it thinks it's going to work to experimentally verify that what it thinks works actually works.
And if it doesn't know what works, it can take all of the different things and put them together and record the reaction. So it can
self-learn.
It can actually feed it through a variety of, you know, testing apparatus, meters, and so forth, and learn. And so you can just be like, here, AI robot, here's like 5 different chemicals. Go find all the reactions. And it only actually has to do 10% to predict 90%. But yeah, if it's not sure, it can test any one of them.
I think this kind of apparatus is going to lead to some really amazing things in material science, because we're going to need lots of exotic materials to travel through space for things like radiation protection and micrometeorites and all that kind of stuff. And this is exactly the kind of setup that we need to figure out, like, these 4 elements combined in this lattice structure produces something that's as light as aluminum but 10 times stronger than 12 inches of iron.
I suspect it will also have huge implications for the killer robot industry.
Yes.
You think about mustard gas and how much better we can make lethal gases. Because killer robots, they're immune to gas.
They don't care.
So that's a real quick way to wipe out a whole city.
They might not be immune to really high concentrations of chlorine gas, depending on what material they're made out of. But basically, yeah.
Well, they could have they could like just positive pressure to keep a little buffer around themselves.
Yeah.
Either way, they're going to kill and nothing's going to stop them. So that's the important thing to remember.
Waymo is back in the news.
Also not to be stopped. Waymo cars.
25,000 miles a day. And you got to keep in mind that Waymo, they're not just driving 25,000 miles, they're gathering data at a rate of 25,000 miles a day. So they're learning from the 25,000 miles that they drive, which is the really important, like the Google Pilot cars that they were doing were not just to pilot cars, it was to actually build the data model, which is what teaches them how to drive. So this is a big deal.
They did hundreds of thousands of miles in simulation.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're on the road. Yeah, like I said before, I think Waymo is, they're at the leader of the pack here.
If you don't see a company doing this kind of thing, how would they have the technology?
Yeah, and Google can certainly afford it. They're doing it the right way. They're doing the Amazon plan where it's like just burn tons of money and figure out what works the best, and then we will conquer everyone.
Yeah.
So I think we'll probably see those earlier than a lot of people expect. Ah, well, we've made it to nonsense.
Our first nonsense story. I was really excited because I thought this might be the tomb of Alexander the Great. It was not.
Well, if you've been following, though, the dark sarcophagus, as it's been shown, they opened it up to find out what was inside. And let me take a look here.
It was a new sarcophagus found in Egypt. They thought maybe it might contain Alexander the Great. It contains a family. We don't know who yet. And rust water.
Sewage, actually.
Or sewage, okay.
Yeah, they believe that it's sewage. But people have decided that drinking the dark sarcophagus water will probably imbue them with powers beyond imagination.
We've all seen The Mummy, right?
Exactly, yeah. So there's a change.org petition to allow someone to drink the red liquid from the dark sarcophagus. I don't disagree. I think we should find out. You know?
This is why they're going to blow up our planet to build a highway.
But yeah, the authorities, or the people working on this project, believe that because of the location of the dark sarcophagus, this is probably just sewage drain off. So it's probably human waste.
Fox News also has a very delightful story.
This is not much to do with technology, but I just couldn't resist.
The headline is, "Millennials are outraged after baseball team advertises Millennial Night with avocados, participation ribbons, and napping stations."
Napping stations. The name of this baseball team, the Montgomery Biscuits. That's the greatest baseball team name I've ever seen. Montgomery Biscuits.
Go Fighting Biscuits.
Yeah, so this, it kind of worked. I mean, it got them on Fox News, right? But
people were outraged.
The millennials were not happy about it.
We don't need napping stations.
I think it's hilarious that the millennials, they've got this horrible, and I think they deserve it. We've definitely seen some millennial behavior.
There come the downvotes.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's all the millennials, but those of you, the good millennials, need to do more to curb the bad millennials.
So apparently Scotland Yard is using child spies.
I never thought about it before. Do you think we do?
Maybe. Maybe we use old people genetically altered to be like perpetual children.
What was Webster?
People that never hit puberty because the hormone thing doesn't happen.
What was that guy's name? The actor.
Benjamin Button?
No, the actor that...
I can't remember.
What you talking about, Willis?
Oh, yeah, that guy. I can't remember his name either.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with the story. The story has to do with... apparently, they do from time to time use children as spies. And so the reason this got stirred up is they were actually looking to relax the laws about using children as spies. Apparently, you have to renew your child spy license once a month. But they wanted to do it once every 4 months. So
what is going on?
A lot of people weighed in on this. Theresa May... you would think that she would be like, this is abhorrent and we should stop. But her quote was like, we only do this when we absolutely have to. What are the guidelines where it's like, all right, we've exhausted all the other options.
Are the children aware that they've been spies?
Bring on the child spies.
Have they been programmed? I mean, Children of the Corn was a documentary. It was not.
Well, how about the Varys' spies from Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah.
And
wow.
They're stabbing that guy. And that's a terrifying scene.
Children. So that's apparently happening
over
there in Europe. What is wrong?
Children are terrifying.
I watched the video for this. This is amazing. The headline is, the $440,000 suit lets you fly like Iron Man. And you totally can.
It totally works. It's expensive, but I put this in nonsense because it works for 3 minutes.
But you can get to 12,000 feet in 3 minutes.
Can you get back down?
No.
It consumes 4 liters of fuel per minute.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. It is a cool video. And that guy claims that it doesn't build up heat inside of it. And it's extremely comfortable. It doesn't put, pressure on your joints or whatever.
Huh.
So
that seems difficult because it looks like all the lift is coming from his arms and not his legs.
It's the jetpack. The arms are basically just maneuvering.
Okay.
So, yeah. There's not just one of them. You can buy one and get it made, you know, because it needs to be, like, fitted to you. But
what happens if you bend your knees and get your feet in the jet stream? Does it just vaporize your foot?
I think the suit itself is made of some heat resistant
flame retardant material.
Yeah. But nothing good's going to happen, I'm sure. I don't know what, but I wouldn't want to find out. It also might be that the legs are somewhat rigid to keep you from doing something stupid like that.
That's funny. Because if you landed really quickly from 12,000 feet, probably going to have a broken leg or
two. Well, I think the more terrifying thing is, what if you get, like, confused or you get a cramp or something and you end up going up and then pointing yourself down?
Oh, that would be bad.
Yeah.
I wonder if we solved the icing problem.
Well, they've never taken it more than, like, 12 feet off the ground. Theoretically, you can go to 12,000, but you should never do that for any reason.
Motherboard has a delightful article.
This is mostly about the video. So this guy, we talked about, last week we talked about the Canadian ISPs.
Yeah.
And I think those were the wireless carriers, but it's all the same.
Bell Canada. Bell Canada has pissed off somebody so bad that he's just like, I got to fix this with an axe.
So yeah, I think he did this knowing that it was going to be a social media hit. But also, he's angry about his service. Now, he claims that this modem that you're looking at here, this modem, was, he set up an appointment and waited for 4 hours for the guy to show up. And they did show up, but they didn't even knock on the door and left the modem on his doorstep.
Wow.
So this was his response, was to show up with an axe and destroy it in front of the support center.
Now, pro customer service tip, if you're in America, don't do this, because the police will just shoot you. It's like, you've got an axe in the parking lot of Bell Canada. True. They'll just shoot you.
They totally will. You might get away with a baseball bat. You might just get tased for that. But an edged weapon, forget it.
Things have gotten real bad here in the States. I want to rethink those vacation plans.
This is another story that doesn't have anything to do with technology, but I just couldn't resist it. Because
what is the technology of milk? And it's like, the FDA is fine. Like, I don't even, the FDA is looking into this. It's like, almond milk is not actually milk. That's a joke that we have made before on this news program. And finally, 20 years later, the FDA is like, oh, there might be something to that.
Well, this guy looked into the actual wording of, like, what constitutes milk. And he found reference to lactation. And so he was like, well, an almond doesn't lactate, so can it be? Can we have that? And I don't think so. Coconut? Can a coconut lactate? No. So we're maybe getting some new rules where, and the big milk, the milk people lobby is behind this in a big way.
Well, obviously, they've got the monopoly on lactation.
Well, it turns out, though, that milk sales are suffering. We actually got a huge oversupply of cow milk in this country. So what are you going to do? You go after the almond people. The browsers. It's struggling. It's working. Oh,
yeah, we're getting genetically modified fruit. Like, if you don't like genetically modified food, this story is not for you. But I'm kind of excited for it.
It is cool. They talk about peach-flavored strawberries. I'm trying to imagine. What kind of world? Peach-flavored strawberries. Tomatoes with no seeds. We're talking about regular strawberries that are just way sweeter.
I would like a strawberry banana strawberry that I can just put into a food processor immediately and have a strawberry banana smoothie.
How about a banana, but when you peel it, just strawberries inside?
Well, as long as I still get the banana flavor, because the banana strawberry flavor is what does it for me.
So anyway, the new ruling here is, this is about CRISPR. CRISPR-Cas9, is that what it's called? And with CRISPR, you can do this kind of crazy stuff. You can edit things like this. It was totally within reality, these examples we're giving you. But the question is, should we? Should we do that? And so the ruling is, if it's something that could be accomplished with centuries of crossbreeding, then yeah, go ahead and CRISPR it right now. That's what they're saying.
Neat.
They brought up red apples, apparently. You couldn't, like, red apples weren't, they were just like little tiny, bitter, nasty things.
Oh, yeah.
So we crossbred them for decades and got Red Delicious.
I don't know. Well, just the apple master race, I think, is probably the Fuji apples. Like, I think, I guess that's a cross between, like, Granny Smith and Red Delicious, because Red Delicious is honestly kind of bland anymore.
Oh, you've started an apple war.
Ah, that's my trick to get an engagement.
What's the best apple?
Granny Smith can be good, but a lot of the Granny Smith apples are too bitter. Like, you get, if you get just the right Granny Smith apple, it's good, but they go, they're, it's
but just... see, according to the old ladies that did the cooking at our church when I was growing up, the old regular ladies who, you know, you can fault them for whatever you want for their religious beliefs, but when it came to cooking, they were unparalleled. They liked a Granny Smith apple and a lot of sugar, because you get that sort of like, you get it, it's sharp, but it's also really sweet.
You kind of get that in with like the Fuji apples, because it's got the little bit of bitterness, but it's sweet, like Red Delicious. So
yeah, well, this is for a pie. Oh, it's okay. Like if you're making a pie,
we got to caramelize the sugar. That's the real offset for Granny Smith.
Maybe we can crisper up an apple that caramelizes on its own.
Oh, that would be amazing. It's like sometimes your trees just catch on fire because it's self-caramelizing.
It's got a molten core. Oh, that would be great. Well, how about the moon?
Who owns the moon?
I mean,
if only there were a space lawyer that we could ask.
It's finders keepers, right? It's ours. Why would we even debate this?
I don't think space lawyers are a thing. Oh, wait. Nope.
Space lawyer. If I was that guy, I would be changing my business cards right now and putting this
certified space lawyer.
Yeah, put this URL on it. So they came up with the conversation.com sort of came up with this, like, who owns the moon? What are we going to do? And so they talked to a lawyer who probably has the most experience in this kind of thing.
With property law on the moon?
And the way it shakes out is actually there was a treaty back in the 70s that most of the countries signed, at least the ones that might ever get to the moon, that said it was like a common thing for all humanity. But the Western nations have also ruled on things like asteroids and the moon that it's kind of like international waters. Like, it's not yours. You can't settle there, but anything that you can mine from there and bring home, go for it.
There's a lot of really awesome resources we could use from the moon. I mean, hell, some of these asteroids contain enough precious metal to upset the precious metals market here on Earth.
But I wonder, because like with fishing, it's not like mining. You have to set up a facility to mine, especially on the moon. You have to have a pretty permanent base to be able to do anything.
Unless you do it with those robotic cockroaches.
Well, I suppose, but they're going to have to recharge somehow.
Mm.
So, how does it work with oil rigs? Oil platforms.
Oh, the oil rig is sovereign soil.
So they have to buy that.
Well, no. I mean, like, if you set up the oil rig in the middle of the ocean or whatever, when you set a foot on the, like, just establishing the oil rig gives you...
So it's kind of like a ship.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think. So, I don't know. Maybe somebody more familiar with maritime law wants to comment into things, but...
But it's going to work kind of like that. So when someone goes to the moon, I guess you do just sort of, like, stake off your claim. And it's like, this doesn't belong to our country per se, but we're mining, so you can't mess with us.
I didn't think it was possible for me to feel worse, but our next story.
I only include this for your reaction.
Star Trek Discovery, that's the currently running thing. It's not even Star Trek. It's just like space opera.
Now, but hang on. I read the synopsis here. They're in an alternate universe?
Yeah, the entire first season was in, you know, spoiler alert. The entire first season was in the mirror universe, like where, like with like Goatee, Spock, and Kirk from the first season. Like the whole first. And it was like a surprise, because the characters were all like dark and evil and stuff. And it's like, why is this happening? And it's like, well, it turns out that was the mirror universe.
So are they back now?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched anything. I don't even know if season 2 is out yet. But
no, they're talking about season 2 starts in 2019. But they're filming it, and that's what's coming up. Spock's going to be in it.
Yeah, probably Zachary Quinto Spock, because the other Spock died.
Yeah. Literally. Well, I mean, how could he play? This is prequel, right?
Yeah.
How could he be young Spock?
Yeah, that would be.
There's no amount of makeup that's going to get Leonard Nimoy. looking like young Spock.
I'll just do it with CG.
So, did you watch the, you haven't watched them all?
I watched, I think, all of them but the last episode of the last season, of the first season of Discovery. I don't think I've seen the last episode.
Wow. So, you, that was the finale. That's supposed to be the good one, right?
Yeah, no. It was garbage.
A lot of people in the comments, when you shit on it, they defend it.
So. It is not Star Trek. It is a perfectly fine sci-fi series, but it is not consistent with the ideals that Gene Roddenberry taught us, like that we should aspire to be a better humanity for the future. That's the main problem that I have with it.
But maybe they're going by Mirror Universe Gene Roddenberry.
That is apparently what has actually happened, which is wrong.
Well, here's something that might also come from the Mirror Universe. It's a sex robot with a family mode.
This is from Fox News. So Fox News, so like the people that make sex robots are, there's a family mode switch on the sex robot, which will tone down its sex robot. But like, I mean, I'm just imagining a household with like a 12 or 13 year old boy. And this would just like, there's no amount of counseling later in life that would solve that problem.
You know, the old trope in movies where like the young boy, the parents are gone somewhere. And he's like rummaging through their stuff and he comes up with a revolver.
Yeah, yeah.
But now he's going to find the sex robot.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, if they're sophisticated enough, I mean, why would you need a robotic maid and, you know, the sex robot? I mean, it's going to be double duty. So well, it's going to be all kinds of weird for everybody in that family.
But hopefully you would have like an attachment that you keep, you know, from the rest of the family. And only attach it when it's time for sexy mode.
Apparently it's an iPhone app. And like you just go in there and you flip it on and then it's good to go.
So I suppose this is her. It's kind of disturbing with no hair. But this guy, the son, I think, ran this story originally. But this guy, who is a sex robot enthusiast, I bet they put that on the little tag under his name when he was on the show. How would you like that to be how you're described on TV? That, sex robot enthusiast.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But he admitted... He was talking about the family mode, and he said that he does indeed let his children play with it.
Those children are going to need a lot of counseling later in life. A lot of counseling.
Yeah. I would say, as a rule, any non-living object that you have sex with, don't let your children play with it.
Don't let your children near it.
Don't let them know of its existence. That is hard to hide something that big, I imagine. So, yeah. And that was almost the most ridiculous story this week. Almost. It was neck and neck. But I feel like this one trumps it.
Jenny McCarthy doesn't know what her Google Home sounds like, assumes it's a ghost.
Now, if you're not hip to Jenny McCarthy, very attractive young lady who was a Playboy model, and for some reason, MTV decided that she should have a comedy career, which she did for a little while. I don't think she was particularly funny. She was very attractive. And then she got into the anti-vaccination game. And that's kind of what she's famous for now.
Mm.
So she's looked down upon among the more scientific communities of the world.
Apparently having some trouble figuring out her Google Home.
So the Google Home apparently plays a little piano number when you reboot it. Or it reboots itself, which is what happened in this scenario. She heard that. There happened to be a piano in the room, because she's also very rich, and she assumed that it was ghosts playing the piano, like right off the bat. Like, oh, I heard a piano. There's nobody in the room. She actually checked the security camera, and she was like, yep, it was ghosts. But it was Google Home.
How cool would it be to the person at Google to take that tech support call?
Well, she did not call Google. She went to Twitter, as you do when there's a ghost infestation in your home. Any emergency, you go right to Twitter.
Well, the Twitter sleuths were on it and solved it, I guess.
Yes, because the recording had the actual sound. So she actually, I guess, uploaded the security footage. And somebody was like, that's the Google Home noise. You have a Google, there it is. It's on your desk there.
In other news, you have the Jenny McCarthy sex tape to look forward to when hackers use her home surveillance system to spy on her.
That's true. Yeah.
Should have given yourself away there, Jenny. Sorry. That's it. That's it for the week. We're done.
You made it.
I'm going to pass
an hour on the dot for Friday's show, and that's all you get. And who knows if we'll live another week. I'm starting to feel a little scratch in my throat. I'm very paranoid right now.
Oh, that's not good. That's probably how it's going to be. You know, we had a lot of content this week. This week, the video, the collaboration video that we did with Linus came out. It's like gaming on Linux. You can game on Linux perfectly fine, but we also showed doing it with the virtual machine and then doing it with Looking Glass so you don't have to have a second keyboard, monitor, and mouse. And we got some of our own content on the Linux channel. And this is a busy week for content.
And a busy week for news, but now it's over. And we can go and incubate.
Yeah, probably more content coming this weekend, too. Jeez. All right. Thank you, guys. See ya. Join our Patreon, because more stuff like this. All right.
Also, I don't know if some of you complainers noticed, but I left the stories up on the screen a lot longer this week. You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. He's piloting, because I couldn't manage that. I don't have the coordination.
They complain about that constantly. So now, you're welcome. I'll expect your thanks. And, you know, retroactively.